Welcome one, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast, presented by Viva the Matadors. You are on once again with Al B. Shore, and I got my guy with me, Dylan Smythe. What's up, Dill?
I go by Dylan, fire everybody on the Cowboys staff, Smythe now.
I mean, if I was a Cowboys fan, I'd want everybody to be fired too. They looked atrocious. The Cowboys really waited 15 days, prepared for a team for 15 days, and put up 14 points.
At home.
Against a team that the Titans aren't even that good.
Yeah, against a team that's not that great. Ugh, it's disgusting.
Yeah, we are. So if those don't know, we're recording this pod after the Monday Night Football game. Usually we have these pods recorded right after the game itself. But, you know, we were both very betrothed after the very tough, late loss to the Oklahoma Sooners. What were the ways that you were able to drown your sorrows after that loss Saturday night, Dylan?
First of all, betrothed. What a word. $5 word. 5 stars for Albie.
I do this.
Wow. Speechless. A piece of me is like really tired of making excuses for Texas Tech football and the fact that we always lose this game. But then the other piece of me thinks the excuses for losing this game are completely valid. And it's just a bummer. Lots of alcohol was involved in the forgetting of that game.
Well, see, and that's okay, so here's the thing. And I know, okay, but let me preface this by saying I'm not calling for Kingsbury's job. I'm not – I have been on the fire cliff train before. We'll see if I'm still on there at the end of the year. But as of right now, I actually think Cliff's done a decent job this year. But what I will say is that in his tenure, we just kind of where we've been. I mean, we can make excuses for a lot – valid excuses for a lot of Kingsbury's losses, like a lot of them. It's not like he's out here just getting blown out except for – when he plays Iowa State in years past. But a lot of his games, I mean, hell, the Mahomes-Baker Mayfield game 2 years ago, you know, that one is one where it's like, golly, you just make one stop defense, we win the game. What about the game where the extra point was missed against Oklahoma State, right? What about the toe-tap game against TCU? Like, there's so many games you're like, oh, well, you know, it's not really Kingsbury's fault. And there's valid excuses for losing, but you're right. We lose these games so many times. And I miss the time during the Leach years. And really, if we're being real, even during the Tuberville years, where we would win that game. We would have that upset. We were the team. We were what Iowa State is now into where, oh, you know, they're good for one upset a year. Unfortunately, since Kingsbury's been here, we haven't had, we're not that team anymore. We're not that, oh, you know, they're good for one upset a year. They're just not us anymore.
Yeah. And it's, I think Cliff, I think this is probably one of the better coaching jobs he's done since he's been here.
No, it is not.
And B, I think he's one of the least luckiest coaches in all of college football.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. I mean, me being a Texas fan, I know about luck because we're probably the luckiest team in the NFL right now. That's just. Football takes luck. You need luck to win, and sometimes luck gets you fired, unfortunately. Now, I'm not advocating for that at all. I think that Cliff's actually done a pretty decent job with his team this year, and I still believe that we're due for at least 8 wins this year. I say at least, but, I mean, now that's the best we can do is 8 wins this year. But I will say that if you finish the season 7-5, which is also pretty realistic, I don't think he's as safe as he was, say, two weeks ago. You know, but before we get more to that, let's focus a little bit more on the Oklahoma game. So what were some areas that you just did not like, some things you didn't like from that game?
Our defense played about as good as I expected them to, and losing Dakota Allen clearly hurt. And you saw the defense start to struggle without him, which was unfortunate, but Kyler Murray is Kyler Murray, and he did Kyler Murray things. I kind of want to talk about the decision to run Bowman. Personally, I have zero problem whatsoever with it. If Bowman was uncomfortable running that play, Kingsbury would have known it and wouldn't have called it. And you could tell during media availability how annoyed he is with all these questions about Bowman. What do you think? What's your take on the run play? And I want to remind you did call for him to run this play in the preview pod.
Yeah, look, dude, I loved it. Like, I loved it. I saw it, and I was like, oh, yeah, crap. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. If Bowman is that fragile, he shouldn't be playing. Like, yeah. Period. Like, if he's – so, Kingsbury, and I, you know, I'm on Kingsbury's side on this because for him, he's like, look, dude, he seemed healthy. I thought he was healthy. I don't know crap about a collapsed lung. Of course he doesn't. None of us do. You know, none of us that's a very odd, strange injury. And if Kingsbury thought that for a second that having him run – do a running play was automatically going to get him hurt, he wouldn't have been out there in general. What happens when he gets sacked? That same thing could very well happen. So the thing is that if he's not healthy enough to play, he shouldn't be out there. But same time, Kingsbury doesn't – I mean, he doesn't know that that would have happened. I mean, nobody – I wouldn't have guessed that. And I for one, like you said, I said that we should run that play. Let him run. Now, I unfortunately don't think he's going to be playing against Texas, which blows. I mean, for the last 3 weeks, I've been saying we're going to beat Texas this year. And I really believed it, and I still believe it until Bowman's diagnosis is not going to be able to play. Not only that, but you already mentioned Dakota Allen. Very good chance he's also not only out for this game, but good chance he's out for the year. Just the worst time for these injuries to be happening.
And I said, Cliff Kingsbury is the unluckiest coach in football. And I drive myself crazy playing what-if games. Like, that's just who I am. And I ask myself, what if this collapsed lung never happened? We beat West Virginia. We probably beat Oklahoma. We got a great chance against Texas. Like, what if?
How many times we said what if in his career? Like, it's just you're right. He's extremely unlucky. Oh, for this to happen, man, this just sucked. I mean, look, if defense played well. I know we gave up 51 points. I know that. And I know from first glance, like, you know, I mean, I even had Oklahoma fans on our mentions talking about, man, you know what, defense, I know y'all gave a lot of points, but Jackson played well. They did. They forced turnover. They did what they were expecting to do. But the fact of the matter is that three and out after three and out by Jet Duffy is, dude, like, three and outs in a row by Jet Duffy. And I just don't know what you can – what we can do with him. He's going to be the starter next week against Texas, most likely. It's, man, is that tough.
So two things here. One, the fans got a lot of heat in this game, Texas Tech fans. We showed up, but apparently we left early. Been trying to get to the bottom of it, but let me say this. If I was at that game, Jet Duffy goes three and out three times, I'm gone. If I'm being perfectly honest, that's when I leave that game, is after Jet Duffy goes three and out three times.
I'll say this. I wouldn't have left, but I don't blame anyone that does. From going on a high, you being so pumped about this game all week, the game's here, the team comes out firing, you lose Dakota. You're like, man, crap. But the team is still good. We still got Bowman. He goes out. You're like, damn it. And then you see Jet go three and out three times. The game, to you, the game is over. Now, I get it. We're only down eight, but we might as well have been down 48 at that point, the way Jet was playing. And so it brought up, now people are asking, what about McClain Carter? Is he healthy? According to Cliff, if Bowman can't go, McClain Carter will be Jet's backup in this game. And I'm curious if Cliff is trying to get a medical redshirt for McClain Carter. Maybe that's why he doesn't want to necessarily play him. Because if that's the case, I mean, Cliff, there's no way. Like, to me, I look at it and say, McClain was your starter at the beginning of the year. You bench Jet for a McClain TCU game. You're just as frustrated with Jet as anybody else. There's no way you truly think he's the best man for this job. So a part of me thinks that maybe he still doesn't believe McClain Carter is 100% and that maybe he's also trying to get him a medical redshirt. But he is the backup to Jet.
That's a solid explanation, because I've always wondered, like, what happened between now and week one to where McClain Carter, if he's healthy, is the third quarterback on our team. Very confusing after, especially what I've seen from Jet Duffy. Like, I'm done. I'm so done with that dude. Like, for the love of God, I want to see McClain Carter, if not Allen Bowman.
McClain was out there for three plays against TCU and re-injured his ankle.
Yeah, I was about to say, you said he got benched for McClain Carter. He tried to bench him for McClain Carter.
Yeah. He had no choice. He's like, damn, sure, whatever, man. Go out there again. McClain Carter's ankle's made of glass at this point. So I feel like maybe he's not 100% yet, and not only that, but maybe Cliff's still trying to get him a medical redshirt. Good, you know, obviously the four-game redshirt won't work on McClain, but a medical redshirt will. And so maybe that's what he's trying to do. Actually, I take that back. Actually, McClain might be able to do a four-game redshirt. I'm not sure.
Me and McClain can be the Glass brothers because we both have glass ankles.
Yeah, well, he must have that. But Jet, enough of the word now, people are calling for Colt Garrett. I mean, it's been a joke all year, but it's like, golly. Like, at least Colt can make a five-yard pass, you'd have to imagine, right? Like, Jet, dude, like, I've been on you. Now, if you listen to the pod, I've been an advocate for Jet. Not that I think he's good, but I think he's exciting to watch. Last game, he wasn't even exciting. He was just bad. He was just bad. Like, there was no – I want the Jet – if I'm going to watch Jet Duffy play, I want the Jet that played against West Virginia that threw for, what, three touchdowns and also threw for two picks? That's the Jet I want. At least if you're going to make mistakes, you're going to go out and you're going to, you know, screw us. You're going to screw us in a blaze of glory. Not that BS that we saw last Saturday against Oklahoma where he couldn't even throw an out. He tried to throw to Jadeon High and almost got him killed. Or to Keshawn Carter. Threw to Keshawn Carter. It was a five-yard out. Or a five-yard in. Right in front of him. And he almost got him killed.
There was a slant route where he almost got Jadeon High killed, too. He threw it high.
Like, dude, they're right in front of you.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is I give Cliff a lot of credit because in the press conference he said, you know, I should have gave Jet some things to get him comfortable because once he got settled in, he was fine. What a lie. What a great lie by Cliff Kingsbury because it doesn't matter. At its essence, this offense is really easy for quarterbacks to make completions and Jet can't do it. And I don't care what play call. If you have to cater your offense for a guy so he can get warmed up, like, give me a break. And just, he said, oh, he got settled in. He was looking okay. No, he's terrible. He's garbage. I don't want him. Great lie, Cliff. Great lie.
Dude, Vinny Testaverde's son was a better throw of the football in this offense than Jet Duffy is.
Yeah.
Like that's like what, dude? I'm speechless. Like I'm like, what? Where is your confidence just shot? Is that what it is? Because he's always been a bad decision maker, but at least he could eventually once in a while throw a beautiful ball. No. Once in a while make a good decision. Like, is your confidence just absolutely shot?
And the only like impressive completion that he had downfield, Antoine Wesley went up and got it. So I don't know. I can't stand to watch the dude. It really bums me out to see Jet Duffy run out with the offense.
It's bad. And now I made a joke in Slack the other day because I said you know Jet once he gets benched for Colt Garrett, he might as well start that transfer application to Incarnate Word or Houston Baptist.
He can go play with Coach Morris. Our other reject.
Yeah, Coach Morris would be at IWU, and then Coach Kitley, who was the QB coach last year, he's at HBU right now. So,
you
got two guys that you're familiar with at least, but it ain't working out, son. I don't know what.
Does announce the transfer, I bet you those two guys call.
Yeah, you have to imagine. I mean, but it's just it ain't working. hell, man. Maybe you got some eligibility. You can go out to ICC. You know what I'm saying? Some last chance you. See what you can do out in Kansas or something. I don't know, but it ain't working out. Like, I don't know. I don't know what your deal is, man, but it ain't working out. Anyway, let's go a little bit back to the defense. So we talked about Dakota Allen. Dakota Allen was hurt. I actually thought Rico Jeffers played an okay game. I think you can't expect much from him. He's a big boy run stopper, and that's what he does. I kind of wanted Jordan Brooks to step up, and I didn't really see it. For Jordan Brooks, if you remember the year that our defense was atrocious, Jordan Brooks is virtually the best player on the team as a true freshman. And so I was kind of hoping to see that guy emerge with Dakota out, and he really didn't. I thought secondary played decently, to be honest. I thought secondary played, about as good as Fonte Doris came in, two picks. I thought the secondary played well. I wish the D lineman played better. I felt like Kyler had a lot of time back there, but what was your assessment?
You mentioned it. You mentioned him. There was one shining star in this game for me, one person who deserves zero criticism. That was Vontae Dorsey. He was everywhere in this game. He was everywhere. Yet, like you said, two interceptions. I don't have this box score in front of me, but just a bunch of tackles, and if he didn't make the tackle, he was near it. I think he said his mom came to come see him play, and that's why he stepped up his game. What? Oh, that's cute.
His mom drove, I think, 14 hours straight.
Yeah.
To come see him play, which is adorable.
And he balled out.
Yeah. I mean, this is the first collegiate game she's ever seen from him. I'm actually getting a call right now from a Beto O'Rourke organizer because they would not leave me alone.
So get this. You mentioned that she drove 14 hours. He almost got ejected on like the third play of the game. Can you imagine how disappointing that would have been for mom?
That's why targeting is the worst rule in maybe even sports. Like it's such an atrocious rule.
Hashtag make football great again. Review the targeting rule.
So I was, when we were watching it on Saturday, I was with some buddies of mine and I was thinking about this. The people that made that rule have never played football. This is how I know this for a fact. They never played football. Because if you play football as a defender, sometimes it is impossible to get your head up the way they want you to get it up. So when I was in high school, I was 190-pound defensive lineman, right? So I was now if you see me now, I ain't 190 pounds. But in high school, I was 190-pound defensive lineman. I was one of only like three D linemen that were under 200 pounds. I tried for the life of me to get over 200 pounds, couldn't do it. So I was small for a D lineman. I played DN and D tackle, funny enough. But what I used to always have happen is I would get these stingers, constantly these stingers, that since like sophomore year I kept getting them. And so the trainer gave me this cowboy collar. He said to me that, hey, Albert, the reason why you're getting these stingers is because you constantly have your neck going in an awkward way. So he got me this cowboy collar. And for those that don't know, the cowboy collar kind of protrudes from your pads. Some players wear it with the pads over it, but it basically like having a little hump above your pads, right? And it keeps your head from moving back. So when I had this cowboy collar on, me being a small D lineman, I thought I was the man because it made me a little bit bigger, right? I had to get bigger pads for it. I was like, yeah, MFers, I'm out here. Let's go. So I had this cowboy collar on. It actually did help me tackle better because, you know, you couldn't move your head any which way. But I was just thinking, I would get a targeting call on every game I played if this was the case when I was in high school. Because I couldn't – when I'm going in to make a tackle, I can't lift my head up. The cowboy collar restricts your neck from being moved backwards. So when I go to make a tackle, my head was always down because I literally could not do it any other way. It was either I had to basically back straight and make a tackle and get run over, or if I was initiating anything, my head had to be down. So think in this situation, that's how we were taught to tackle the defenders. Think in this situation, even without the cowboy collar, just in motion, when you're going to make a tackle, your head is instinctively going to be down. Like, that's just what it is. And you can try to eliminate some things out of the game, but that's one thing that it'll never be eliminated, ever. Because that's how you play football. I don't think the targeting rule is being explained well enough either, because it's not helmet to helmet. It's crown of the helmet. Well, you can't launch. You can't do this. You can't do that. So what's launching? Well, launching is at the gray area. Like, there's so many things that nobody knows. So there's so many times where I see targeting's being called, and it's like, oh, well, it wasn't helmet to helmet. Well, okay, but it's because they launched. And then it comes back, oh, no, actually, it wasn't targeting. Well, I thought because they launched, it was targeting. Oh, well, no, that's not the case. We're going to take away the flag. Well, okay.
It's basically up to the referee's, like, discretion at this point.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Like, it's the worst – it's probably the worst call in sports, all the sports.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
And then not only that, but and then you're suspending a player for an entire game. Like, that's – or if they do it in the second half, you're suspending them for the entire half and the first half.
Yeah.
Right? And a buddy of mine came up with he said that he felt, what if they did, like in the NFL, how they have two personal fouls before you're ejected? What if they did two targeting before you're ejected? Honestly, personally, the whole rule is stupid. So I don't care how many targeting a guy gets. I don't really agree with that either. I think it's just like an idiotic rule. Like, to get a rule that can't be – that I cannot – change, I cannot fix, is ridiculous, you know. I think that doing it behind the safety BS, there's not one rule that's ever been in put in place. I can't think of a rule that's been put in place truly for safety. Most rules are put in place because we want to score more points. Let's put more rules in this way. And this is another one. It's ridiculous.
But yeah, the point of the whole targeting discussion being, good job, Fonte Dorsey. Way to not get ejected.
Oh my God. You just got me riled up. Well, frustrating loss to Oklahoma. So let me ask you this. Going forward, we have three games left in the season. big, big game against Texas coming up. We're going to have a pod for that here in a few days. But what's the outlook now? I mean, now we're sitting at 5-4. Or our starting quarterback's probably going to be out for the Texas game. Starting linebacker may be out for the season. What's the outlook for this team now?
So what we know about Alan Bowman right now, as of today, Tuesday, Cliff said he expects him to be out of the hospital tomorrow, Wednesday. So there's a chance he plays on Saturday, but regardless, I like to think we have two wins in the bag and the third's up in the air. That's my outlook for the rest of the year. So 7-8 wins, depending on Saturday.
Man, 7 wins is that's trash. Right. I mean, I guess if you consider where we expected us to be at the beginning of the year, you may take it. And considering what we were thinking just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago,
yeah,
to just finish the season 7-5 would be a disappointment. It would be. I know other people will say, oh, you know, well, beginning of the year we would have loved 7-5. Well, dingus. Expectations change, and I'm tired of 7-5 being the plateau, the peak. But you know,
well, and we saw the talent of this team. We saw where this team could go, and that's why it's deflating.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. We're not. This thing is, we're not Iowa State, like, right? You know, we're not Iowa State. 7-5 is, man, that's fantastic. Team of the century. We're not them. We shouldn't be going for that. But that's another subject for another pod. Since I got you on here, Dylan, let's take a look at some other games that happened this week, my man, Mr. Smythe. So first thing first, Iowa State kicked crap out of Kansas. Their defense held them. I mean, what did we predict? I think we said 6 points that Kansas was going to score. They scored 3.
Yeah. Yikes.
27-3, Iowa State did about what we expected. What do you think?
Well, Iowa State beat the shit out of Kansas so bad that they fired their head coach. So that's a thing. That's happening. Which, juicy piece of information here. Apparently, the lead candidate for the Kansas job is Les Miles. But what I thought of the game is... Yeah, I know. Yeah, I read that right before we hopped on here.
Please. Please hire Les Miles, please.
No, I think that'd be a great hire. I'm surprised they can even get close to getting Les Miles.
No, Les Miles should never take that job. Nobody should take that job, honestly.
I feel bad for Les Miles that people are like, oh, you should take that job.
No, but he is a great recruiter. I'll give him that. But he need a lot more than a good recruiter at Kansas. Oh, my goodness. That'd be great, though. I want Les Miles in the Big 12. He's fun.
No. I don't want him to go to Kansas. That sounds dangerous. But anyways, yeah, that game was a bloodbath. Like, I hardly even watched it because what's the point?
Yeah, well. On to another game that nobody cared about. TCU barely pulled it out over Kansas State. They did not get swept by the Kansas brothers. I did not watch this game because, I mean, why else? Why would you? But what do you think about it?
I didn't watch it either, to be totally honest. Like, cause why? There was only one game in the Big 12, or two games in the Big 12 that interested me, was ours and the West Virginia Texas game.
We're gonna get to it. Screw it, let's get to it now.
Yeah.
West Virginia Texas.
What a game.
That was a game. I'll tell you, hey, shout out to West Virginia and Texas for getting our bloods pumped before the Tech OU game. Man, what was your hot takes?
My favorite part of this game is Tom Herman complaining about Will Grier taunting on his way into the end zone for that 2-point conversion that sealed the deal. Favorite part of the game.
In the words of Charlamagne the God, Tom Herman needs to shut the F up forever, okay? if doing the horns down is disrespectful, then doing the horns up is disrespectful, your tool. All right, and I'm tired of Sam Ellinger and my boy Lil Jordan. My boy Lil Jordan talking about is disrespectful to the logo, and when you're this top tier program, mother ever, y'all haven't won more than 7 games in years, okay? Y'all ain't no damn top tier program, all right? Like, that's, who cares? Like, here's the thing. We're going to taunt you. You're getting your butt. You're lost. Take the L like a man. All right? That's the reason why we didn't like Baker before, because anytime Baker lost, he'd, oh, my God, I can't believe it. They did this, and then, oh, I can't believe they put a flag in the middle of Oklahoma. Yeah, you tool. Take your L like a man.
I feel like this is more of a preview of Texas Hate Week than a recap of the game that we saw, but I'm into it.
Tom Herman is such a dislikable person. Like, he really is. You know what's funny? I actually never disliked Mac Brown. I think he's a very likable guy. I think the only reason why Red Raider fans dislike him is because he's the coach of Texas.
And he beat us a lot.
Yeah. But Tom Herman, even when Tom Herman was in Houston, I was like, man, if he wasn't down here, I feel like all the Cougar fans would dislike the guy. And sure enough, the second he left, he burned every bridge at the University of Houston. Like, every single one. Right? And, like, oh my, he's just such a – can I say dick on here? He's a dick, okay? I don't know if I can say that. If the big wigs at SB Nation hear that, I'm sorry. But it's they're made for each other. I tweeted that the other day. They are made for each other, Texas and Tom Herman. And I hope he stays there forever, because he's such a tool. And these are kids. You're criticizing 21, 22-year-olds. You're a grown-ass man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
I wish Gundy wouldn't look at that last week. Oh, I wish it. But it was an exciting game. West Virginia won that game. Texas has also lost two in a row, just like Tech. So it comes. So the Losers Bowl is next week.
It's the battle for the second place, the second best team in Texas.
Second best team in Texas?
I guess it'd be the battle for the best team in – no, second best team in Texas.
Yeah, I was about to say, who's the best?
A&M.
Houston? A&M. Screw A&M. You see how terrible Kellen Mond looked? Goodness gracious.
Kellen Mond either looks really good or terrible, and nothing in between.
He is one of the best safeties playing quarterback in the country. So, Sam Ellinger is another one. He's also on the list of safeties playing quarterback. And then Houston's pretty good this year, but we beat Houston, so.
Right. That debate's already settled.
So I will say, as great a game as West Virginia and Texas is, there was another very good game this weekend. No, to be honest, with the exception of Iowa State, Kansas, there was and how boring TCU K-State was close, but it was really boring. But another good game, Oklahoma State Baylor. Baylor virtually wins on a last second touchdown pass because Mims is the only good player on the team. And Oklahoma State, who I thought maybe was going to turn their season around after their upset against Texas. No, they're not. They are who we thought they were. And so they take an L against Baylor. What do you think about that game?
Like you said, such a wasted opportunity. They beat Texas. It looked like they were going to get things on track. And then you lose to Baylor. What an embarrassment. Like, we can complain about being 7-5, but we didn't lose to Baylor.
Well, not yet, anyway. Let's not hold our
breath. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm making an assumption. We're not going to lose to Baylor.
Yeah, I will say, I kind of just say this. McLean Stadium was the least enthusiastic stadium I've ever seen in my life for a game-winning last-second home touchdown pass. Like, it was, like, the announcers were lit. They were like, yeah, Baylor wins! And the crowd's like, yeah, woo! I was like, wow, this is the lamest school ever. This is how y'all celebrate, like, an exciting last – it was at zero. Like, it was literally the last play of the game for the win. And on a touchdown, not even a field goal. And that's how y'all celebrate? Like, y'all are the lamest school ever. I'm pretty sure Houston Baptist would have been liver. Like, I was like, man, y'all suck. And the funny thing about it is the stadium was actually fairly full. Like, it was probably the most full I'd seen Baylor Stadium all year. And it was just, I couldn't imagine let that happen at Tech and the entire stadium is there may be an earthquake in Lubbock that day. But
goalposts are falling down. People are raging on the fields. Yeah.
Yeah. But luckily it's in Baylor, so it's like, well, you know, let's go get some streamers and and get get turned off of apple cider.
Mm.
They're the BYU of Texas.
Yo, it's prime apple cider season. Just saying.
They are. is that accurate for me to say, though, that they're the BYU of Texas?
Yeah, I think so.
And I'm not even saying that because of the Christian universe. I'm more so saying that because they're really lame and boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was in school, I went to a Baylor party in Waco. And it was a big party, too. There was quite a bit of people, like, you know, a few thousand people. And they played Crank That Soldier Boy. And people were still, this was in 2011, I want to say. 2011, they played Crank That Soldier Boy. And it wasn't like a lame thing to play. Like, it was just like, yes, this song again.
Yo.
So I was like, you know what? So I was like, you know what? I'm never coming back to this university ever again. Y'all are a different type of whack for me, okay? I can do whack things. This just ain't it. But still a good one for them. We've kind of gone off track. Good one for them. We're getting pods kind of extended a little long today. So what do you want to say to the people, Dylan?
So last week, I found out, I warned you guys about Mac Loudermilk. Well, I found out there's another Loudermilk in college football. He plays for the Badgers. No relation. I don't know. What a name. I'm fascinated.
How can that possibly be a common name around? Like
Loudermilk.
Like how? That must have been like a prank or something. I don't know. It must have been a prank or something. So I'm not sure.
I mean, is Lil Jordan a prank? No.
Well, Lil Jordan's the world's greatest name, so I mean, would you prank about that? Funny enough, little side bit before we end this pod, whenever me and my wife were talking about naming our daughter years ago, we had a long conversation. You know, one of those that you're talking until like 5 a.m, and we're talking about it, and you know, heartbreaking. So we come up with these names, and one of the names that came up was Phoenix. So now I kind of joked about it, and in my delirious state, I was like, man, Phoenix would be a great name. She's just like, oh, it's like, oh my God, Phoenix, like the greatest name I've ever heard. Phoenix, that's it. Because we're like, with a name like Phoenix, you gotta have to be a star. Because if you're not a star, that's a really stupid name, right? But it's just like, yeah. So next day I wake up, I'm like, man, Phoenix is the world's dumbest name. But my wife is still like, no, I want to name my daughter Phoenix. And I'm like, babe, you're out of it. You're way too pregnant to you want to name your daughter Phoenix. Because think about this, like Beyonce, right? With Beyonce, imagine if Beyonce was an accountant. Like how terrible that would be.
Beyonce has to be like a stage name, right?
Like but that's the thing, you have to be a star because you're either like a, with a name like Beyonce or
Seal.
Well, that's not his real name, is it?
Is Cher
her real name?
I think so. I think they're all changed though. There's no way they were born with those names.
No, Beyonce was born with the name Beyonce Knowles and Solange Knowles. Those are their real names.
Okay.
And so with names like Beyonce and Solange, right, like if they weren't celebrities, what are they going to do? Like, I can't, you know, like they have to be celebrities or, you know, live a life of crime.
Well, right. Luckily, Lil Jordan is skilled and has a chance to play NFL football. But, like, if Lil Jordan was a construction worker, that would have been a bummer.
Well, that's the thing. But it would have been one or the other. Like, he would have had to either be, like, with a name like Lil Jordan, you're not going into sales with a name like Lil Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Like you're not being an engineer with that name. You're either gonna be this celebrity or this star athlete, or you know, you're gonna be working you're gonna be doing city work.
Hi, my name is Lil Jordan. Are you satisfied with your pool equipment this summer?
Lil Jordan would have went by like a different name. He would have went by his middle name or something. Like his middle name is probably like Stewart.
Or it'd just be LJ.
Or LJ, yeah, yeah. Oh, LJ. Oh, what is that? What does that LJ stand for? Ah, nothing, sir. You know, it's just
Lamar just Jackson.
Yeah, it's exactly. My actually stands for LeBron. LeBron James. LeBron James. Yeah, my parents are a big fan. Big fan. He would have moved to Cleveland. He would have had to move to Cleveland. It was the only place that would have been acceptable.
Yeah.
So it'd be like, my name is LeBron James Humphrey, actually, sir. You know how that goes. Our parents are kooky. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, as a, he would have had no choice. But anyways, man, this has been a it's actually been a fun pod. My AC in my area is off right now, so I'm sweating bullets. But you know, this is what happens when you lose to Oklahoma. You feel like talking a full pod about nothing that has to do with football. But it's a lot of fun. We are going to bring you the Texas preview pod here this week. It's beat Texas week. It's hate Texas week. It's horns down week.
Horns down, Lil Jordan. Horns down.
Yeah, dude, I'm sorry you're my boy, but I got to go against you this week because you're talking down on the squad. And I feel like they're coming out and saying this because they know we're – oh, my God, they know there's going to be all types of horns down in Lubbock. Lord, like, and I'm not even a big fan of the celebration, but after all this, the horns down, after all this, you got to do it, right? Like, it's priority.
If I'm a player, I want to do it so much more now.
Yeah, yeah, you dummies. Please don't disrespect the horn sign as you walk into Lubbock, Texas.
It hurts my feelings. Huh.
It hurts. I don't like it. All right. Dylan, where can the people find you on Twitter?
At DylanSmythe92.
Check it out. As for me, I'm at Mr_AlbieShore. For Dylan, this is Albie. Stay wrecked, people.